There's a song by Mercy Me that says, there are sometimes, they say sometimes you win some. This is a song called Even If. They say sometimes you win some, sometimes you lose some. And right now, I'm losing bad. I've stood on this stage night after night, reminding the broken it will be all right. But right now, I just can't. It's easy to sing when there's nothing to bring you down. But what will I say when I'm being held to the flame like I am right now? I grew up in church. Was actively involved in ministry for decades. Was involved in another ministry for about 10 years where I did this on a regular basis. I wasn't the pastor, but I would fill in when people would go on vacations. But when I walked in here, I was broken. I was exhausted. My spiritual life was probably at an all-time low. And I had nothing left to give. Had been going through very, very challenging times for a long time. Probably in different ways almost 10 years, but really intensely for 4 or 5. And it was just a really, really tough time. And today, we're not going to go into what my challenges were. Because honestly, my challenges are what they are, and yours are completely different. But what we're going to do is hopefully go over 3 passages that have been meaningful for me over the last 4 years so that I can stand up here today and do this and show and talk about the faithfulness of God. And so the first 2 passages are a little easy to get through. The last passage is going to be tough. But hopefully this candid discussion of going through hard times is of value to you. So whether you're going through that time right now, or you're coming out of it, or you're in a blessed time, you have these verses for you. So the first passage that we're going to go through is in Hebrews. And it says, let us not consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching. Like I said, I grew up in church. And I watched people over my life that would stop going. They'd stop showing up. And it most of the time happened in a gradual way. I'm kind of busy, won't go today. Kind of busy, won't go tomorrow. And then all of a sudden you wake up one day and you go, man, I haven't been in 6 months, but I don't miss it. That scared the bejeebies out of me. And so the first verse that we're going through is, I realized I had to commit to showing up. So we're coming out of COVID, going through some really difficult times, and I just decided that I have to find a place to show up. Now, there's a scale of showing up. There's the sit in the seat, barely awake, showing up, We'll call that zero. And then there's over here that's the super pumped up, worshiping every moment, and you're actually living all these verses and you're actually encouraging people, and we'll put that as a 10. I was a 0.5. If I'm honest, I didn't even want to be here. It was vegetables. I have to eat my vegetables. I'm scared that if I don't come somewhere, I'm going to be a mess. But if I'm really honest, is I wanted to be invisible. I didn't want anyone to know that I had been involved in ministry. I didn't want to have to encourage anybody because I had nothing to give. I ran out of here. Literally. For the first 4 months we were here, 3 months for here, it's like, oh, I made it through another week. I didn't meet a soul. Except as Les is here, Les introduced himself. And people tried. But it's like, I don't want to be here. I just want to check off the God box that says, I'm here and I showed up. Then we get a call from Pastor Matt. We want to go out to lunch. What did you do, Gene? Gene gave him the contact information. The last thing I wanted to do was meet with a pastor and go, oh, tell me about your story. No, thank you. You don't want to know what I've been going through, and I'm a mess. And I'm not going to contribute. I'm not going to be here. Can we just not do this? Gene, why did you give him the contact information? For a year, when people would call about the men's breakfast, they would call my wife's number because they didn't have mine. That was where I was at. But slowly over time, God used this time, and God started to soften my heart, and the messages started to pop through, and slowly the healing process started. And if there's any of you here today in any condition, praise God, you're in the right place. If you're barely here, man, do I get it. I so get it. But there is hope for you, and there is absolute value in just showing up. You're exposed to the truth, you're exposed to worship, and you're exposed to a connection with a body of fellow believers. Which leads me into the next passage. It's in 2 Corinthians. And these verses are clear that God wants us not only meeting together regularly, but what's also important is we're connected to a community of believers. And it says in 2 Corinthians, it says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we may comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in these sufferings, you also share in our comfort. When we're discouraged, what's the greatest tendency that we have? For me, isolation. I want to be alone, preferably with a big thing of popcorn and a Diet Coke and Netflix. Right? Sit there and watch F1. But what this passage is talking about is not isolation, but the idea of getting together and staying connected with fellow believers. It's the reason why we have worship, what? Connect. Because this comfort and suffering is a shared experience. But first we must understand that God is the source of all comfort, but it's much more than that. it's not just about being comforted during hardships, but God uses tough times to spiritually strengthen the believer in the midst of affliction. The believer learns to depend on God in ways never imagined. We experience God's peace and presence in new ways. We witness His faithfulness. We can look back in the rearview mirror and see His handiwork. This faithfulness and peace is meant to be shared with others. It's the exact opposite of isolations in a court of Ben and Jerry's. When we live in community with other believers, God uses other believers to come alongside us. We need to avoid isolation and withdrawal and replace it with deep connections with other believers. But why doesn't that happen? Why don't we have deep connection? Because we want to stay isolated and we don't share. Odd thing is, there's a gentleman sitting right over here that replaced me where I used to work. My old company is full of a bunch of believers. No one knows what I'm sharing. Because Brian kept it to himself. Brian lived in isolation. I mean, they knew a little bit. But they had no idea to what degree I was going through it. But what happens when we're going through things, we don't experience this shared comfort from God because of our isolation. There's a lot of times the reasons why we don't do it. Pride. Some people just love self-pity. I don't know what it is, but they just ooze. You talk to them and they just almost glory in their miserableness. Right? The other one that happens is, I heard somebody once tell me that we compare our inside to everyone else's outside. I'm fouled up, but the person sitting next to me, they got all their stuff. They're raising their hands. They're telling me Bible verses. I can't share it with them because I'm a mess and they got their act together. But when you truly become connected with a body of believers and you start letting the walls break down, you start to share your struggles. And when you share your struggles, God uses those people and their victories to worship, to minister to you. I can tell you, I had a life-changing conversation with somebody in our community group when I was walking my dog. I'm sitting there walking my dog, and literally it's a mind-blowing fork in the road difference in my life. Because somebody was allowed to break in to what I was going through. And so I pray that this church is a place, and your community group is a place, that you have the ability to open up. That it's a safe place, that it's an encouraging place. But God uses people in your life to help you. So if you are one that has been passed through the fire and made it to the other side, spiritual comforts are not given to us to use alone. They are like all gifts of God and are given to be distributed and become instruments to help others. Because what did we say before? It's not about being comforted during hardship, but God uses tough times to spiritually strengthen the believer, and we're to share that with other people. So, in simplistic terms, if you're not connected, shame on you. There's a million opportunities, and there's a bunch of wonderful people here that you can connect with. Find time to get in connection. Sitting on your couch, watching F1 with a quart of Ben and Jerry's is not the answer. Hanging out with believers that have walked your road. Because that conversation that I had that person had walked the exact same road. It was like, but you have to be open. The person next to you does not have all their act together. You should feel comfortable to share your struggles. Now, those are the easy passages. Now we're going to get into the tough one. Let's go look at 1 Peter 5. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you, clothe yourself with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud and shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. Cast all of your anxiety on Him, because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who has called you to His eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To Him be the power forever and ever. Amen. The last year, I have probably meditated on this passage 300 times. I don't want to say it's every day, because sometimes I play golf. It's just been through this passage. And actually, if you go back to it earlier, there's a passage about elders being willing to serve, or eager to serve. And when I was asked to join the board, because of my past experiences, because of my past hurt, because of everything I had been going through, it was like, I don't want to do this. But I stink in reading this passage all the time. It's like, be eager to serve. It's like, okay, Matt, if God keeps calling me into 1 Peter 5, I guess I'm going to have to do this. And that's how we became a member of the board, is literally in earlier verses of this passage. But as we go through the individual verses, it says, God opposes the proud and shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. Question. Do you want to live by faith? Without answering, I'm guessing that 98% of the people here say, absolutely, I want to live by faith. Let me ask you a tougher question. Do you want to need to live by faith? Do you want to need to live by faith because you have no idea what in the world is going on? What I want in times where I have no idea what's going on in the future, I call it GPS faith. I want a faith where God and I decide on the destination. I let Him pick the route because, after all, He is God. But I'm still driving. He tells me exactly when we will arrive, how to avoid collisions, where the traffic delays are. Every fork in the road is clearly marked, and I am giving clear warnings as where we need to change directions. We're sort of a tag team, each bringing something to the party. That's what I want. It's not in the Bible. What's the verse say? It's the exact opposite of it. It says we're to humble ourselves. We have to turn over control and surrender to God with humility and believe that submitting to His control is the best thing for our lives. We must recognize that God is God, He is in control, and we are not. We never were. We think we're in control. We find our security in finances and health, relationships, jobs. But no, you're one phone call away from a life-changing problem. 2 months ago, somebody I love was diagnosed with cancer. Going through chemotherapy right now. Great health, not so much now. But we must trust Him even when we don't understand and things are out of control, when times are tough and the future is uncertain. God has a plan for our lives, and we saw it in the passage in Corinthians and this passage that it will include suffering. But in Corinthians, the passage says God will not waste that suffering. He uses it to grow us in so that we could minister to others. Man, I don't want that. I really don't. And if you want to take the crux of what I was struggling with, I had a world of things that were out of control that I had no solution for. And God's just going, depend on me. It's like, I don't want to. I want a clear passage. I want to know what's going on. I don't want to need to walk by faith, if I'm honest. I want it to be clear, smooth sailings, but God's calling us to something else. And then it says, God will lift us up in due time. Lifting us up is not necessarily a change in circumstances, but a change in how we view it. We can see how God uses it, and we can see God working in a situation. It's not Brian's time, it's God's time. We must have faith and humility to believe this is true. When we are discouraged, we wonder, will the situation ever end? What possible good could come out of this situation? And the enemy wants you discouraged and in questioning the future, but God will lift you up in due time. Pastor Matt, in the last couple weeks, has been talking about Good Shepherd. Do we believe that? The next one, verse 7, says, cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. The working of casting requires prayer and faith. Prayer tells God what the care is and asks God for His help, while faith believes that God can and will do it. The act of casting our cares on God is saying to God that this situation is too much for me to carry on my own shoulders. In this process, it drives us to our knees, breaks us of our self-sufficiency, and teaches us to trust Him. So we're supposed to cast all of our cares on Him. And what we end up doing, we go, okay, yeah, got it. They're all there. You walk away. Take that care back. Take that care back. And all of a sudden, your pockets are full with a whole bunch of cares again. We're supposed to cast them on Him. And leave them there. And I'm running out of time, so I'm going to go quick. Verse 8 says, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Lions are ambush predators, relying on stealth to get close to their prey. They approach slowly, keep low to the ground, and use any available cover. Once close enough, lions will charge at the animal, attempting to knock it off balance and pounce on it. Generally, they attack the weak and who? The isolated. There's strength in the herd. But be alert as you're humbling yourself and casting your cares on Him. You have a roaring lion trying to knock you off of your balance, take you down and completely devour you. He wants you to worry. He wants you exhausted. He wants you to grab your anxiety back from God. He wants you to question if God really does care for you. He wants you to try and take back control and do it in your way, not God's way. He wants you to feel distant. Sounds like Brian 4 years ago. Verse 9 says, resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. The Greek word for resist implies forceful, active opposition. It's not a passive acceptance of the temptation, but intentional and determined effort to stand against the devil's influence. To resist the truth, the lies, we must know the truth. So when you're going through something, you got to be intentional. And guess what? You got to know the truth. If you don't spend time in the Word, how are you going to know what? Well, I'm feeling just awful. Well, there's therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Why are you feeling awful? Right? You need to be able to know the truth to fight back. And then, Lily, give me 5 minutes. And the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will Himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. We don't live in a suffer-free world. There will be seasons of hardship. There are no ifs in this passage. But we must humble ourselves and be obedient. God will use tough seasons to make us stronger in our faith, and tribulation builds character is a concept all over the Bible. So where do we go from here? I can't read those. So we're going to... in summary, commit to showing up, especially when you don't feel like it. Live in connection to community of believers, not isolation. Humble yourself before the Lord. Give up your control. Cast your anxiety on Him and leave it there. Stand firm in your faith and be prepared to be ambushed. We only know if living by faith is really enough until it's all we have. One last quick story. In Ephesians, it says we're supposed to be filled with the Spirit. The verb in that be filled is passive, meaning that you don't do it, you allow it to happen to yourself. And you allow God to come into your life and strengthen you. Years ago, we were on a sailboat. And we left the harbor with a bunch of friends, and we're toot along, and then all of a sudden I'm distracted, and we are flying. Sails open. I go up to the captain of the ship. I said, "What in the world did you do? We were just kind of puttering, and now we're flying." He says, "I turned off my motors." Is it time for you to turn off your motors and let God sweep you away? Thanks.